Jehovah. Elohim talking about God as the creator. Jehovah, like I said last week, and I'm going to go over part of the things that we went last week, is who he is. Him as a person, who he is. I said before that I don't love my Lord because of the things he's done for me or necessarily what he can do. I don't love him because he's necessarily all-powerful, although he's all those things. He's faithful. He's true. I don't love him for those things. I love him for who he is. He's Jehovah. He's my Savior. I'm related to him. I'm one of his sons. He saved me, bought me, washed me. And I love him for who he is. I'm getting to know him more and more every day. There's so much things I don't know. But I tell you, when I started the Christian walk, when I was a 12-year-old boy, I've learned a lot, and I'm continuing to learn more. I know enough to say this. I don't know everything. And there's more to know. And I thank the Lord that he's patient, and that he's kind, and that he takes his time. He's patient with us. He doesn't bring us all the knowledge that we need in our life at one moment. If that was possible, you would be driving yourself nuts. Imagine if your whole life was given to you. Your wife's going to get sick and die, or you're going to be rich, all of it, in sequence, before you were born, all the way, maybe until you die. If God gave you all of those in one setting, you would probably freak out. So he doesn't do that. He goes it day by day. And I love that about the Lord. He goes it day by day. And we can cover time. See, God's not limited in time. We're limited in time. And so to him, time is not so important. He makes it important for us because he had allotted this time that we have to win the lost. He gave us the power. He gave us the ministry to do it. He gives us the Holy Spirit, and he wants us to win them at this allotted time. We have a short time on earth. Our life is but a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanished away. In that time, God commissioned us to bring his glorious gospel to the lost and dying world. And so, he wants us to do it today. But God has existed before time. He was the creator of it. He existed before time. He has neither beginning nor end. We know that. He says that he is the Alpha and the Omega, which is the ever-existing one. I'm just going to review some of this. His relation to the present, which was the one who always was. His relations to the past, which is to come, the one who always will be. His relations to the future. I am that I am, not only self-existent, but also unchangeable. In him there is no variables, neither a shadow of turning. I was what you needed, will be what you need, because I am what you need. Look no further. Some of this you already have filled out. Jehovah, one who is what he is. Jehovah reveals that God is holy above all else. Holy, holy is the Jehovah or God of hosts. Isaiah 6:3. Jehovah loves righteousness in his people, blesses them accordingly. We looked at that in Deuteronomy 11:13-14. Jehovah hates sin and will judge iniquity. Exodus 20:4-6. And that is where we find the Ten Commandments is mentioned the first time, I believe, in the book of Exodus, chapter number 20. I believe it's mentioned also in Deuteronomy. All right, God or Lord? Jehovah. That's what it equals. I told you before that a capital L-O-R-D is what is used in the King James Version to translate the word Jehovah. So anytime you see a capital L-O-R-D in your Bible, that refers to the Lord as Jehovah. G-O-D, God Elohim, Lord God, capital Jehovah Elohim, Lord with a capital L and lowercase letters after that is Adonai, Lord God. Is Adonai Jehovah. So you got that in your notes. You can look at it. And maybe each time you read your Bible and you see that there's so many different ways of spelling or writing the names of God, you can kind of have an idea why. In our King James Bible, the Hebrew word Jehovah is translated, the capital is L-O-R-D. It's capital to distinguish it from another Hebrew word, which is Adonai, also translated with a capital L and lowercase O-R-D. That's what it is. Genesis chapter number 2 in verse number 4. The word Jehovah is used for the first time together with Elohim as Jehovah Elohim or Lord God. Okay, you can write that down. I'm going to turn over there and read that to you. Genesis chapter number 2. If you're free and you don't have anything to you're doing, but sitting there, you can turn your Bibles there too. It'll be good. Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 4. It says this, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God, there it is, Jehovah Elohim, made the earth and the heavens. I said earlier that Jehovah, there is no other. That's Him. It entitles God as Him. You know, we have the Islam religion and they got Allah. And they'll tell you there's no other. Just Allah. And also with Buddhism, we already said that last week, that they only think of one person, and that's Buddha. And so on and so forth. With God, if you can kind of put it in this perspective, it's only Jehovah. That's it. That's His real name, if you could say that. That's His proper name. That's not what He can do for you. The other names that we're going to discuss, I want to emphasize this so you get it. The other things we're going to discuss talks about Him and what He can do. But Jehovah is His proper name, if you could say that. He's Jehovah. That's why we got Jehovah Rophi, Jehovah Nissi, and also Jehovah Jireh. And all of those we'll go over. And the other last words of those attached to Jehovah is talking about our Jehovah, our God, and what He can do, His attributes. But this is who He is. All right, let me continue. The name Jehovah is derived from the Hebrew word Hava, to be or being. The Hebrew word Kava, C-A-V-A-H. Sorry, my V's look like U, but they're actually V's. To live or life is almost exactly the same as Hava, H-A-V-A-H. By reading either Jehovah or Lord, we can easily see life and existence. Thus, we see the idea of Jehovah as absolute self-existence, the one who possesses essential life, permanent existence. That's why it says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. God doesn't have a beginning nor an end, because the idea of life comes from God. He was the creator of life. And life doesn't encompass Him. He encompasses life. He's the one that made it. And so, He's not limited in time. We are. In fact, He provided for us permanent existence. See, Adam and Eve were supposed to live forever and ever. However, sin came. And because of sin, death came. When sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Lust, when it had conceived, it bringeth forth sin. James talks about that. And sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death. That's the only thing that death can ever give you in its finality. It's always death. Yes, it does say in the Bible that it gives you a pleasure. However, it's only for a season. And a season passes away. And you know that being in New York, our summer is gone. Fall. I don't know if we have a fall. Sometimes we don't. And then you get winter, and we got winter a long time. And I tell you, if you can compare sin could be our summer. It just happens really quick. So it happens maybe, it gives you temporary pleasure, but it's not lasting. And so you find yourself again at the end of it, very empty. But the Lord will give you life. And you know what the neat thing about it? He wants to give it more abundantly. He gave life to everybody that ever exists. He gives, like He said, it rains on the just and unjust alike. God is the creator of the rich and the poor. He's the same Lord over all. However, He wants to give abundant life to those that came to Him and that asked them to be their Savior, that asked to be adopted into His family. So we have that ability to have abundant life. Abundant life is full, and it's something that we should be desiring, and God wants to give that to us. Sin came in the way, and so now we don't have permanent existence, Adam died, Eve died, and so we die. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Talking about the Lord, Psalms 102, 25 and 27, thou art he, being the same. Let's turn over there, Psalms 100, number 2. Some of you guys are taking a nap on me, so I'm going to make you use your Bible. Okay, I'm nice. Sometimes I don't, but I'm going to do it today. Some of you guys stayed up all last night, I tell you. I don't know what you guys were doing. I was watching fireworks. And I got to talk to the most beautiful girl in the world while it was happening. Man, 4th of July last night was something I never had before. I know she's going to listen to this. Just don't turn red, Elizabeth, okay? 102. Psalms 102, verse 25 and 27. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. You know when you have a little kid or you have a family when you're young, your kids are young, it seems like they go through growth spurts and you give them clothes and then the next week they have to get a new one because they grow so fast. And I always thought when I was a little kid, well, some of these days I'm not going to grow anymore. I found out that's not true either, because if you don't grow this way, you can also grow this way. So I have to be careful on that. But I thought that once I get my full grown-up clothes, I'm a grown-up, I'm never going to change, you know. And when you get old, by the way, you grow the other way. You shrink. So there's hope. But I don't know what I'm talking about that. But I always thought, man, I'm a grown-up, this is how big I'm going to get. I'm not going to get any bigger. I always thought that. I said, well, this is all the clothes I'm ever going to need in my life. I'm never going to have to change it. But I forgot that they grow old. You wear them over and over, you wash them, you dry them, and they tear apart. So you have to get new ones. And so is life. We have to renew a lot of things over and over. Renew a right spirit within me, Lord. We have to renew things because we get old. We get lackadaisical. We get used to things. We get complacent. We get convenient. We sit down and we buckle down and we forget life. And so we do that with many things in our life. You know, sometimes it could be merely our house. We don't take care of it. Just let it sit around. And or it could be our clothes, or it could be our car. It could be minute things in life that we let settle and we don't do anything about it. And sometimes it could be very big things, our relationship with one another, brother and sisters in Christ, mother and father, so on and so forth. All of our relationships, friendships, we let it settle down. We get complacent. We get used to somebody. And we forget how special they are in our life. And sometimes we even think, I wish they were not around. So, and then we get, when they are not around, and then we miss them. But we could be enjoying them while they're here. We don't know from day to day who's going to be here next week. Something could happen this week, we have no idea. And if you have a bitterness with somebody in this church or somebody here that you know, I guarantee you to work on that very, very quickly. Don't keep a long account with people. Very short account. Deal with it. You never know if you're going to see them next time. Enjoy the people around you. God made them too. That's why they're here. You might not like that idea, but God loves them as much as he loves you. And he loves each and every one of us very differently from one another, you know that, because we're all very different. And he's all power. He can do that. He can love you the way that you like to be loved. And he can do that. But don't expect us to do that because we don't know everything like that. God does. But help us. We need to help each other in loving each other. You know, it's not all in the one side. You know, the Bible says, love one to another, and the world shall see that you're my disciples indeed. But in order to love somebody, it goes along with the other side. The other person wants to be loved. And so, my friends, let us be easy to love, if you say. Let people love you. And that's the other respect. You know, we're always saying, well, love people, love people, love people. It's hard to love people if they don't want to be loved. So let people love you. I don't know how you do that, but do something. Think about it. Pray about it. The Lord will give you wisdom. Let people love you. Thou art He, being. Like I said again, when He said, I am, is an everlasting presence. It's always here. It's always available. He is. I am that I am. That's good in the past. That's good today. That's good in the future. There is no time limit to it. It's fresh every time you say, I am. And that's what God wants to have with you. Fresh, fresh, fresh. He doesn't give us any leftovers. His mercy today is renewed to us every morning. It's brand new, brand new. It's just like going to the closet every day and having brand new clothes every day. He doesn't go and takes it and washes it. He gives you a brand new one every day. And God wants to have a fresh relationship with you every day. You know, I'm into it now, so I guess I'll go ahead and say it. Since this is very new to me, everything's exciting. And it's like that for everything. The first time I got to learn the trumpet, it was exciting. I was down in the basement, moving like a cow, through the trumpet. And my mother said, would you go down in the basement, stuck a sock in it or something? If I do that, I couldn't hear if I'm hitting the right notes or not. Thank the Lord, Brother Priori helped me out a little bit. He said, go out in the woods. And then we're in the cow country. So I'm blowing my horn, and the cows will go, moo, back to me. So I had a good time with them. But everything that's new is fresh. I remember even though I was scared to come to the States, it was still fresh. I told you the story when I went to the restroom and saw the urinals you guys have. Well, we have now. I'm used to it now, too, by the way. I told you the story before? Okay, I'm going to tell you. I don't remember who I tell the stories to because I'm on the road, you know, at churches trying to get to the mission field. But anyways, I don't know why I tell this, but I do like it. When I first came over, I met my dad for the first time. He asked me if I would need to use the restroom. I said, sure, I would. I'm so glad that the signs for the man in the restroom is the same. It's the guy. I said, I can understand that. So I went in the restroom, and the one thing I had a hard time with is the urinal. It was fine. It's all the same. The sinks are fine. The toilets are fine. But the problem with the urinal in the States is they had the blinking red lights, and there's no lever to flush the toilet. It's a blinking red light. I only knew as a young kid living in the Philippines, and I didn't live in fancy places. I lived in the squatter, so we were poor. But I only saw a blinking red light in the cameras. So I thought, man, what in the world? Why would people do that here in the States? I am not going to go do that. But I had to use it, so I went and used it. And then I'm trying to figure out how to flush it. So I'm hitting the red light. I was holding on to it like this so nobody, you know. And then I'm pressing on it, hitting something on the top, on the side. I'm looking around. And gladly there's a gentleman that walked in, and he used one, and he had no fear. He just walked right in like, huh, man, these people are weird. And he used that, and he walked away. And I said, man, that is so rude. You're supposed to flush the toilet when you're done with it. And he walked away. And I said, how rude is that? And then I heard it. Shoo. Rushing water. Just flushed it. I said, that is awesome. So for the life of me, I went to every one of them after that and heard them all flush. So it was really good. So exciting. Something that's fresh and new is exciting. I thought it was exciting. The first time I saw snow, I thought that was exciting. The first time I saw snow, I never had snow in the Philippines. And I came over here. We live in Jamestown. And it snowed the first time. It just covered the ground just a little bit. You can still see grass. I said, this is awesome. I went outside with no coats, nothing. Just a t-shirt and jeans and walked outside. They said, you know what snow is? I said, no. It's ice. Get back inside and put some warmer clothes on. I said, okay. And I thought it was just something exciting. And then the next day, it snowed. I mean, it really snowed. I think it was 2 feet of snow or something. And they said, you really like snow now? I said, yeah, that's cool. So I went outside, played around. And then my grandfather gave me this awesome piece of equipment from the garage. It was an orange thing on the end of it, and then a wood, an orange thing on the other end. And he said, clear the places where people walk and the cars go, move around. I said, that's okay. So I started shoveling. Man, I don't like snow anymore. I hated snow right that day. And I found out you have to do that every time it snowed. I said, snow, get away. Oh, that was good. But something new. And so God wants to have that with us. Because, you know, when you get something new, you get a brand new car, you go in the car, freshen it up, clean it up. When it gets to be 5 years old, you just throw all the McDonald's wrappers in there and whatever happens to it. And God wants to renew his relationship with us every day. Brand new, every day. And I feel that with Elizabeth and I, it's new, so it's brand new. But at the same time, I don't ever want to lose it. But it takes work, because you will get used to it. You will get used to the same cup. You'll get to use the same shoes you wear every time. That's why you want to buy another one. You'll get used to the same shirt that you wear, and so on and so forth. But you have to work at it. You have to make it special. And God, my friends, work hard to make it special for you and me. His relationship to us, he wants to renew every day. He is Jehovah. All right. I have to finish at least three of this transparency. Noted, Jewish commentary of the Middle Ages, Moses, Maimonides said that regard to his name, all the names of God which occur in the scripture are derived from his works except one, and that is Jehovah. I already talked about that. And this is called the plain name because it teaches plainly and unequivocally of the substance of God. In the name Jehovah, the personality of the Supreme is distinctly expressed. It is a proper name denoting the person of God and him only. Elohim usually denoting the Supreme. The Hebrew may say Elohim, the true God, in opposition to all false gods, but never says Jehovah, because Jehovah is the name of the true God only. We can say my God or my Elohim, but never my Jehovah, because when we say my God, we mean Jehovah. You understand that? You confused already? I try to express that. We may say the God of Israel, but never the Jehovah of Israel. For there is no other Jehovah. We may say living God, but never living Jehovah. For Jehovah is self-existence, everlasting, and cannot be explained otherwise. So you get the gist of what I'm saying about Jehovah. Jehovah is who God is. The word there is the substance of God. Who God in totality, who he really is, he's Jehovah. And so you can't compare him with another God because there is other gods. The Bible talks about other gods with small case g. And you can't compare him to them. He's totally on his own. He's in his own, if you could say, playing field, and nobody else can play, for he's so good. In Exodus 3:14, we find a unique statement concerning the identity of Elohim, God. I am that I am. I am that I am. In the Old Testament, angels announced it so. Many of the references of angels' declarations are attributed to the angel of Jehovah or the angel Jehovah. It was he who appeared to Moses in the bush and said, I am the God of thy father. Exodus 3:1-6. The glorious angel did not say, I am come from God, but I am the God. Hagar in the desert, Jacob at Peniel, Abram, Sarai, etc. And we see that. Sometimes in the New Testament, we have names of angels. Gabriel, Michael. And also we found that Lucifer is one of the angels as well. And he's now known Satan. But in the Old Testament, sometimes when you see the word the angel, it actually talks about the Lord. And so don't be confused with that. And that's what this is trying to explain. If you got more time, read it over again. Try to understand it and see what the Lord can do for you there. Moses asked the angel to tell him his name. He knew it was God. However, Jehovah I Am answered. And Moses learned to know God in a new way. So let's review a little bit. He is self-existence. Am I going too fast for you to write all the notes down? Doing fine. He is self-existence. Ay, ay, ay. Okay. He lives by his own power. He maintains his own life, which only God can do. He is eternal. He is before and after. I am. He's unchangeable. He will always be what he always was. He does not grow old, forget, or grow wiser. He knows all and will know all. He is incomprehensible. I am that I am. What he is can neither be described nor conceived in imagination. Our best efforts to explain are far short of real understanding. And then that is so. That's why you're laughing at me up here. Because I can't explain God. You know, somebody said this. When I was in college in Austin, we would go to the UT campus and we would do some street work, talking to them about the Lord Jesus, trying to see if they would be listening to the gospel and make a decision for Christ. And there, most of the secular colleges are bent on atheism, and they're all thinking that there's not a God anywhere, and they make fun of you and mock you. And so somebody said this, how in the world can you believe a God that you don't understand? I said, simple. Because if I understand my God, then he's not God at all. I don't know if you got that. If we can understand God, did you know what that makes us? If we can understand God, you know what that makes us? It makes us God ourselves. If we can say that we understand God totally, then that makes us all powerful, that makes us all knowing, that makes us all sufficient, all present at all times, that makes us to have all of his attributes. No, we can't understand God. In his sovereignty, he reveals himself through us, through his word now. He reveals his word and the truths of it to us as we read it, as we listen, as we get preached to, as we get taught, as we read it, as we study it ourselves. He reveals himself. His glory is to conceal the matter. The glory of kings, or per se, people of renown or people of nobility, is to study something, to find out, to understand. However, God, in his glory, he hides. He's got that ability. He understands everything totally. And he can hide things. And that's why he says, seek me, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Ask, and it shall be given. God wants you to come to him. Why? Why in all of this? Because of a relationship. That's all it is all the time. He just wants you to spend time with him. You having a problem in life? You don't understand anything? Come to me. I know. I don't want you to figure out on your own. Because if you figure it out on your own, then in your mind you'll say, I don't need God in the first place anymore. And I'll do it myself. And that's what our country in some respect has become. We can provide for everybody through welfare and this and that. We don't need a God anymore. We don't need to come on our knees and pray to God. God, we don't know when our next food's going to be. Have you guys any problem with that? Some of us might. I'm not saying that all Americans are rich. I know enough to know that it's not true. But for the most part, none of us are going hungry. When's the last time you really, really prayed for the next meal to come? Because you have no idea where it's coming. When's the last time you have ever done that? When's the last time you went without food because there is nothing else to eat? When's the last time? I think we missed that blessing. Poor is not necessarily a handicap. In fact, in a lot of ways, it helps you to draw close to God. You know why Filipinos are having a great time over there in the sense of Christianity? And there's not a lot, I mean, they're also getting bombarded with this mentality that name it, claim it. Benny Hinn goes over there himself and stuff like that. Manipulates those people for the little money that they have. and hoping that if they give that money, they'll get something in return, become rich. But you know why they're having a good time receiving Christ? Because they're seeing who it is. They finally get to realize that this is the God that loves me and that takes care of me, and I can trust them. Because they're poor. I'm just using that because I know. I was over there. I was born. I understand. You can say that for many countries in the world. Haiti, man, oh man. Haiti is a mess. And people that are on the lower or can't afford certain things to provide for themselves have to depend on God a lot more. And it's a blessing sometimes. Because you know what happens? God does come through and provide. And when that happens, you can't just but say, thank you, Lord. And your faith grows. And you can't buy to make you grow, your faith grows. You can't have enough money in the bank to make your faith grow. But things like that, I tell you. Jehovah. He is all sufficient. Just fill in the blanks. I am your strength. I am your peace. I am your joy. I am love. I am your pleasure. Fill in the blanks. He's all sufficient. Man, if you're looking for something to satisfy, you came to the right place. But now you must come to the right person. And that's the Lord God, Jehovah. He can provide and supply your every need. And the sooner you believe that, the sooner you can enjoy it. Because in believing, it causes you to act. So muse upon that thought. Think about it hard and let it sink down in the part of your life, in the part of you, that you would actually do something about it and not just talk about it. Man, it's easy to talk about this stuff. It's another thing to do it, especially when you're going through sickness, especially when things are not going well, when you lost your job. Help us. We got 13 minutes before the service. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll close. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We appreciate who you are, truly who you are. You're our Jehovah. You're our God. And Lord, thank you again. It seems like as we look at you more and more, at least I know that I can surely trust you through anything, throughout life, through each new chapters of life, I can trust you. Help us, Lord, as your daughters and as your sons, to always just be leaning upon you, always holding on to this life. Lord, we pray that you'd help us now with the next service to come as our pastor Cole comes. Protect him as he travels. Lord, I pray that you'd help us now as we listen to him as he preaches your word. We pray that you'd cause it to change us, Lord, in more ways than one, not just emotionally and cry about it today and go to the altar and make another profession or make another commitment and not do it at home. Help us, Lord, to get something in us that will make a change in our life for the rest of it. Lord, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.